Christians to Worship and the Study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. It is Friday, and I hope you have great things in store for this weekend. I do. I'm going to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday morning. I'm going to be worshiping. I'm going to be teaching. I'm going to be preaching. We're going to be praying for people in the services. Back in July, I believe it was, we made an adjustment into the way that we were praying for people with needs, and it has been something our congregation has really been blessed with, and we're going to continue to do that. We pray for miracles every week, but it's more than just the pastor that's out there praying. We've got people who have faith to believe, and we had a testimony that was shared here a few weeks ago where this prayer had happened a few weeks before that, where there was a person with a physical need that had lingered for some time. They showed up at church. A person went over and prayed for them, and that was the end of the physical problem that they had. And so for that, we are very, very thankful. I want to let you know that not all miracles come through the pastor. Miracles are not because of me. Miracles are because of how good God is. If you are looking for a church that believes that God still does miracles, that he still wants to save, he still wants to empower, he still wants to sanctify, he still wants to use us for our God-ordained purpose that we were created for from before the foundation of the world, I would like to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God, where we exist. We're blessed to be a blessing, to be a blessing to God, to be a blessing to our family, to our church, to our community, to be a blessing spiritually, relationally. We want to be a blessing however God can use us to be a blessing. Sunday school's at 9:30. Worship is at 10:30. And people say, well, how long does your service go? I say, well, I shoot for 12, but my aim is not good. My aim can be bad. But what we want is we want whatever God wants for that service in the house. So love to have you come and be a part of it. If you do come, introduce yourself. Let me know who you are. I'd love to have the opportunity to say hello. Thank you for listening to the Refresh Radio program, and be able to pray for you that God would lead you and guide you and bless you in all that you do. Today we're returning to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to read verse number 15. That's where we ended yesterday. And it says, and he, the prophet, said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you. Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook. Before the wilderness of Jeruel, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Yesterday we talked about how important it was to listen to God before taking action. And we have to prioritize God's voice above other voices, including our own voice. Here, immediately after, thus says the Lord to you, the prophet says, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. We have to deal with fear before we can deal with the armies that have gathered against us. We have to deal with our emotions. Our emotions have got to be under the control of the Lord more than the problem. God needs to be influencing us emotionally more than what our problems do. So we see a lot of people who operate with ungodly emotional motivation, and we see the damage, we see the ramifications, we see the negative consequences that come as a result of that. And yet, when it comes to our relationship with God, we tend to think that we're not supposed to have any positive emotional experiences. And well, I want you to know that God's the one who created emotions, and our emotions best function under His sovereignty. The enemy tries to put us in uncomfortable predicaments, and then he tries to motivate our actions. He tries to instill panic. He tries to prompt actions of anger, hatred, bitterness. Bitterness is very dangerous, because it is a ministry disqualifier. All you got to do is look at Simon Peter preaching to Simon the sorcerer and saying, I see that you are filled with bitterness. You have no part in this ministry. Bitterness is very dangerous. Well, what if instead of being fearful or discouraged because the enemies have gathered against us, that we deal with that fear and we allow God, who is with us and who is speaking to us for our good, that He works all things together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose? What if we allow Him to speak to us, and our emotions are responsive to His voice rather than our enemies? So we listen to God before we take action, and we also deal with our fear before we ever step out to deal with the enemies. And the other thing that I have written down here is we have to deal with our issue before we deal with the multitudes. There may be just one thing preventing you from solving a multitude of problems. It may be just one thing. I remember I was cleaning the church. I wasn't the one who had to clean the church every week at this point in time. I don't have to clean the church every week at this point in time. We have people that take care of that. If you want to know what my schedule looks like, there are some administrative things that I deal with. There's a lot of research for Sunday school and sermons and Wednesday night lessons and the things that I share here on the radio. There's a lot of preparation that go into those things. And so that is something that's in my portfolio. I tend to do a visitation and hospital calls and things like that. And then I, you know, try and take care of my own spiritual vitality. So those are the things that I take care of, and I've got other people who take care of some other things. We've got, you know, I shared earlier in the week how we've got a staff addition that is coming on, and we are really excited about that, believing that that's going to improve the caliber of ministry and the types of ministry that we're able to do, because we're looking to enlarge the table, not to shrink the table of ministry at Merit Assembly of God. But this time I was cleaning the church. I went to plug in the vacuum. I took the cord from the vacuum. I plugged it into the outlet. Everything had the external appearance that it should work. The vacuum cleaner, I had the extension cord. I hit the power button, and nothing happened. And so a friend of mine who's a mechanic, he said, always start with the simple things first. And so I went and unplugged it from the extension cord, and I plugged the vacuum cleaner into a different outlet, and the vacuum cleaner worked. So I just ruled out that it's the vacuum cleaner problem. So then I took the extension cord and plugged it in where the vacuum cleaner had been plugged in, and plugged the vacuum cleaner back into the extension cord, and the power worked just fine. So now I knew that the issue was that one outlet, and I didn't know why. It was a relatively new plug at that point in time. And I was like, I wonder why that isn't working. And then I happened to be there one day when someone else was cleaning, and I watched them, and they didn't go over and pull the plug. They just reached down there, grabbed the cord, and they jerked it out. And I said, they've spread the prongs out on the inside of that outlet. And that's the issue. There was one thing. It wasn't a huge problem. It was a little problem. And that little problem was keeping me from being able to achieve my objective there for a little bit until I diagnosed the problem. And then I saw what it was. Your issue has to be dealt with. And a lot of people want to deal with the issues others have, and they don't want to deal with their own issues. And so I heard a minister say something one time in a sermon. I went to a sanctuary dedication, and he said, I got stuff, you got stuff, all God's children got stuff. And I can tell you this, I've got issues, you've got issues, this side of eternity, all God's children got issues. We need to deal with our issues. And even if it's just one, even if it's just something little, don't put up a protective fence. Don't put that issue in a high security area where God does not have, you've not given God permission to access that area to deal with that tenderness. A lot of times when kids get hurt, they go to their mom and they're crying, and the one thing that they want to do is they want to protect that wounded area. They don't want to they want mom to make it feel better, but they don't want to let mom take care of the sensitive area. If you've ever injured yourself and you go and you try and find out where the problem is, well, you start pressing around, does this hurt, does this hurt, does this hurt, and you finally find the spot and say, well, that really hurts, that's the spot, that's That's where the issue is. And then when you have the issue known, then that's when you can treat the issue. And so for the children of Israel, for Jehoshaphat, fear was the issue. Discouragement was the issue. And they had to deal with that before they could deal with the multitudes. And from there, you have to discover. So the things we've talked about, deal with fear before you deal with armies, deal with your issue before you deal with the multitudes, take care of the speck in, or the plank in your eye before you deal with the speck in someone else's eye. Then the next thing that I would share from you from this verse is you have to understand who's responsible. The prophet went on and said, for the battle is not yours, but God's. One of the key revelations that God gave me personally years ago was understanding jurisdiction. That means not everything falls in my jurisdiction. Now, God is sovereign in every jurisdiction. There should be no off-limits area. God is not supposed to be isolated and eliminated from government. God's not supposed to be eliminated from the influence of bringing up children. In fact, trying to do that has proven to be disastrous for the morality of our modern times. We are reaping decades and decades of less godly influence in the raising of our children, to the point now where many people do not even know the very basics of the Word of God or know Jesus other than a word of profane use whenever you are upset. We largely live in a biblically illiterate time. There's some occasional biblical influences and things like that. There can be some biblical events that stir people emotionally, but we need to know God. We need to know God. We need to know His Word, and we need to understand jurisdiction and who is responsible. And God, through this prophetic word, says, the reason you don't have to be afraid is because this battle doesn't belong to you. Now, I don't know about you, but that's good news for me. I'm not a person that likes to fight. Doesn't mean I can't do it. In fact, I trained up my children to be able to defend themselves. And I'm pretty good at it. Mr. Let's see, what was it? The A-team, Mr. T, pity the fool. You know, I pity the fool that decides that they're going to try to mess with any of my kids. They have been trained, and you know, they've got my son can take care of himself and his family quite well. They know how to de-escalate a situation. They also now know how to escalate one if it has to be that way. But my kids, I trained them to, hey, if you've got to handle a situation, handle it. In this situation with Jehoshaphat, he said, this battle's not yours. If it's not your battle, then don't get involved with it. One of the things that we've got to be really good at as Christians is know when God says to speak and know when God says not to. When you have cried out and prayed for the salvation of your loved one, and God says, I have this under my control, then don't try and take that into your own hands. You and I are called to live by faith. We're called to live godly lives. We're called to live lives of influence. We are to make the kingdom of God and the God of the kingdom attractive to people who he died to save. But I make a lousy Holy Spirit. You make a lousy Holy Spirit. And if we do not allow God the Holy Spirit to do what he's responsible for, which is convicting the world of sin and pointing them to Jesus, we're there to sow the seed. We're there to give counsel, to speak words of truth in love. But it's only the Lord who can build the house. So I've shared on here before, I was dealing with a spiritual situation in someone's life. As you can tell from this radio program, I'm not a person who's short on words. I like to talk, which is a lot of spiritual development from a kid who was very shy and wouldn't hardly say a word to anybody. And in this situation, which was very important to me and even more important to God because he sent Jesus to die on the cross for that situation, God said, I want you to shut up. I don't want you to say a word. I'll take care of it. And you know what I did at that point in time? I stopped talking. He said, keep your mouth shut. And I will take care of this. You just walk with them. That word is so contrary to the way that I would have resolved the situation. It had to be a word from God. And I said, okay, that's what we'll do. Can I tell you? God worked out that situation gloriously. And the person today is walking and thriving in their relationship with God. That's not me saying that. That's other people telling me about that, telling me that about them. And I can also tell you that if God says something is in your jurisdiction and you don't handle that, at that point in time, you are having a dereliction of duty. You're being negligent. And I can tell you, when God says, this is what I need you to do to take care of this problem, and you don't do it, I can assure you, the problem is not going to go away if you ignore it. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the consequences will get more and more. Now, when God says it's not your battle, he does take on another statement there. He says, this is not yours. The battle is not yours. It's God's. God is undefeated. Even what looked like a defeat, God turned in to his greatest spiritual victory. So, when God says, I've got this, he tells the children of Israel, we'll go here a little bit more, the children of Judah, we'll talk about more of what he says to do. They were not just to go away and not see it. They were going to be eyewitnesses. This was going to be one of their greatest moments. And but they needed to understand, God said, this battle is mine. So there may be times when God says, you don't have to do anything. I'm going to do everything. And man, that's a great thing. But there may be other times where God says, you're responsible for dealing with this. So a little over, or not quite a year ago, my lab work did not show itself to be super spectacular. In fact, the doctor was somewhat concerned about it, and he put me on a deadline. And so it's not the first time my labs had ever been out of whack. And I said, look, I will take care of this. I am able to deal with the food that goes in my mouth. I don't want to be addicted to anything. And he said, okay, I'm going to give you X number of months, 3 months. If you don't take care of this, you obviously don't have any willpower in this area. If you don't take care of it, we're going to have to give you a prescription, because we got to take care of this problem, or you're going to have some serious problems. What he said is, this is your responsibility. And at that point in time, I took responsibility. Over the next 3 months, there was drastic improvement. For the last 6 months, things have been absolutely wonderful, because I didn't shirk the responsibility. I said, there needs to be change that is made, and I'm going to make the change. I read a book one time, and the author, in fact, it might have been the title of the book, and it said this: change before you have to. Where Jehoshaphat's situation, he was saying, this battle's not mine, or not yours, it's mine. There are other times when God says, this battle is in your hands. And I would encourage you, if he tells you you need to go to apologize to someone, you need to go apologize to somebody. You need to go repent, ask them to forgive you. There may be times where your responsibility is to forgive someone who hurt you. A lot of times, unforgiveness is wreaking disaster in people's lives, and all we've got to do is do what God has told us to do in the Word. You might be like me, and you need to make some nutritional adjustments in your life. And if that's what you need to do, assume ownership of that. Take the responsibility. Do whatever needs to be done to get yourself as healthy as you can be. We only get this one body. I want to have all original equipment as long as I can. I want this body to function well until Jesus said, it is time for you to lay down that corruptible mortal body and put on an immortal, incorruptible body. We'll see you next week right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Realty.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.